Morning. Our Bible reading this morning is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, commencing at verse 1. Life through the Spirit. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace, because the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your love. Thank you for receiving us, calling us as your very own. We're so grateful. We're so thankful. And as we draw close to you again, Lord, help us to receive again your grace, your love, your truth, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, it's an absolute delight to be here this morning. And for those of you who don't know me, my name's Simon Jennings, as Julian said. And I'm the pastor at Eden Church for a couple of months. And then we're moving on down to Swansea as a family. And it is a new chapter of life. It's a new chapter of ministry. And it's a big step for us. But we're excited about it very much. And we're really looking forward to beginning a new start down there. Karen, my wife, is a chaplain. She's a chaplain at T. Gwynn. And she's also the area support chaplain for the Methodist homes for the aged. And she's going to be carrying on doing that work. So she'll be coming back and forth to Penarth. And three of our children are coming with us. We can't seem to get rid of them. We did think about not telling them and just going, but there's too much there. But I really wanted to take this opportunity today, and it's providence, I think, perhaps. Certainly I feel that way, that I'm here before we leave, because I wanted to take the chance to really thank you as a church. I want to thank the leadership of Tabernacle for being such a support to me in my ministry here in the town. I moved to Penarth when I was 3 years old, so I'm to some degree a lifer. But Pastor John James was and has been and continues to be a spiritual father to me, and was very responsible for my confirming my call to the ministry. Pastor Roger welcomed me as a brother and gave me an office to work in here, and we had some great years together. And of course, Pastor Dave, I've known him for a long time, and he's just been somebody who's been an incredible encourager. Before I was even in ministry, I remember times when I was leading worship at an event or something like that, and he made a point of coming over to me just to encourage me. And I'm grateful. I'm also grateful for all of you as well. Those of you I know well, those of you I don't know so well, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for the partnership that we've been able to experience together over these years, doing what we've been able to do for the gospel of Jesus in Penarth. It's so important, and I'm so, so grateful to you. Thank you so much for your help. But I am, even though I might be moving, you're not getting rid of me. I probably will be around. I already have a couple of projects at my sleeve, and I hope to be back and forth, you know. But it is a big step for me. It's the first time I've relocated permanently out of Penarth, and so it feels, at the moment, it feels a little bit surreal. I've got to be honest, on most days, it feels like we're in a bit of a dream. But there are also days when, well, it's been quite overwhelming. And actually, sometimes, you know, there's been concern and there's been anxiety. It started to bubble up within me as I see the deadline approaching, and knowing that from the 1st of April, I need a job that is going to bring in an income to pay the bills. And it wasn't helped this week when I read this. Yeah. Apparently only 18% of managers interviewed say they would be willing to interview candidates over 50. So that's what came at me this week. And you know, as I read it, I could feel my guts beginning to churn. My mind started to race. My blood pressure certainly started to rise, and I could feel my whole body becoming super tense. And I thought, right, I've got to get on with it. I've got to get applying for everything and anything. And the temptation really was to go into panic. And it was very real. It's in that moment I had been overcome, totally overwhelmed by a sense of fear. Immediately, I was transported to May, where I was trying to borrow money and going around from shop to shop, business to business, trying to find work or selling my guitar to pay the gas bill. I don't know. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Has anybody else been there? When your mind starts to project this horror film, this disaster movie, of which you're the central victim, and your whole body is responding as if you're already there. You're already walking in. It's like having a nightmare and waking up and finding it's true. Fear can be a deadly enemy. Indeed, I'd go as far as to say it is responsible for playing a principal part in the other pandemic that we're gripped in and have been for some time, that of the pandemic of poor mental health. COVID, the cost of living crisis, public health service breakdown, the threat of war. Alongside that, there's also just the stuff of life that's got enough trouble of its own. And it feels like we're not just facing a wave of fear, but it's more like a mega tsunami of fear that threatens to overwhelm us and indeed For many, it has been overwhelming and has cost them dearly. But is there any hope in all of this? And where will that hope come from? Who is going to comfort me in the face of fear, in the turmoil of my anxiety and the confusion of my tangled thoughts? Well, where is my anchor that will keep my soul steadfast and sure as the billows roll? Yes, you guessed it. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. He also said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Fear is a thief. It's like an evil vacuum cleaner. It just wants to suck up all your joy, all your peace, all your energy, any sense of happiness. And just leaves you lifeless, hopeless, despairing. As someone very helpfully explained fear to me in this simple acrostic, fear is false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. It's true, isn't it? Most, if not all, of what we fear is made up of things that have not happened yet, by which we're tempted to believe in. And there's that word, tempt. It's a temptation to believe in the lies that fear presents us with. It's a choice that we make to allow those lies to become truth in our lives. But the moment we embrace the lie as truth, then we empower the liar. We empower him to have control over our mind, over our will, over our emotions. Does this make sense? Do you recognize this? There's so much to say around this. It is the essence of spiritual warfare and how the enemy takes ground and control over our lives. The moment we allow the lies to take root, they will begin to control our choices. They will begin to control the decisions that we make. And we will be driven by the lies that fear has planted. That's the condition. So what's the answer? Well, the answer is obviously truth. True. You love PowerPoint. Give me a Mac any day. But truth is the answer. Not just any truth, but of course God's word over our lives and the promises that he has made to us. If you hear nothing else from this sermon and you're battling with fear, take one thing away with you and do it. Read the Bible. Even better, get someone or a group to read it with you. Encourage yourself with the word of God. Preach the word of God to your soul. Declare and prophesy the word of God over your life, your family, and your circumstances. Bind the word of God to your heart. Meditate on it. Sing it. Pray it. It is the word of God. Amen? I was sat at home with my son, Eli, the other night, and he read the scriptures in church in the service, and so many people came to me. I wasn't there, I was away, but so many people came to me and said, oh, it was amazing. It was amazing. And we sat at the table, and I said, oh, Eli, I just want to encourage you. You know, people have said that the way that you read the scriptures, it just was amazing. Just, you know, took them away. But to the point that they made a point of phoning me up and telling me. And he said, he just looked at me like, and finally said, Dad, it's the word of God. It's the word of God. He said, there's life in it. Wow. Thank you, son. Thank you, son. Oh, proud dad moment. Well, let's move on. Truth will overcome lies. Truth, therefore, is the key to overcoming fear. Truth is the key to overcoming fear. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. The comfort that we need is going to come to us through the truth that is revealed to us by Holy Spirit. And I know you've been looking at the Holy Spirit through this series, and these verses in Romans 8 are just breathtaking in their explanation of the provision of life in God that we've been given. There is no way that I can cover. I'm listening to the scriptures again. I'm thinking, oh, I should include that, you know. It's an incredible passage of scripture. And I just want to draw out three key truths about our identity in Christ that the Holy Spirit testifies to. And if we appropriate them for ourselves, they will help us go beyond surviving in this world into thriving in the face of any scheme of the enemy, including fear. That's something worth knowing. So the first of all, the way that the Holy Spirit comforts us is by explaining to us and testifying to us that we are free. You are free. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Oh my goodness. This is the best news. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Nothing in our past, our present, or our future can stand to condemn us. All shame, all guilt, eternal impact of our sin, any argument, accusation, constraint, or barrier has been completely removed from us through Christ. Hallelujah. Psalm 103 reminds us that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And in John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. One of my favorite movie moments is from The Mission, and we're going to play it in just a second. But it's a moment when one of the characters, a sinner, a repentant sinner named Rodrigo Mendoza, played by Robert De Niro, he's enslaved Indians, he's killed his own brother in a duel, and he wants forgiveness. And as a sign of his repentance, he has bound himself to a net full of heavy armor, and he's been dragging it through to this mission, through the jungle, up and scales up a mountain. And at the top of this mountain are the Indians who he has enslaved. And this is the moment that he meets them. So moving, isn't it, to see liberation. It's amazing to experience it for yourself. I don't know about you, but I don't ever quite seem to get to the place where I'm no longer amazed at the extent of God's grace, the extent of his mercy towards me. God save me from ever taking it for granted. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were really struggling to believe that God would forgive them. Their sense of regret and shame was overwhelming, and the ability to believe that God could and ever look on them with love. And they were held captive. They were held captive by lies. Lies that allowed themselves to believe that God was still really disappointed with them. And thankfully, God enabled them to see what they were believing was a lie. And this isn't an uncommon conversation for me as a pastor. This is very often what I deal with in terms of people who get stuck. And it's very often because the enemy has sown something into people's lives. People who have been Christians for years, who love the Lord, But sometimes there are areas of their lives that they just can't seem to break through into freedom. And it's because the enemy sows these lies. Very often it's on the back of wounds. It's on the back of something that has happened that has hurt them. And they've believed something. Somebody has said something. Or they believe something about themselves. They've spoken words over themselves. And they've appropriated that lie for themselves. And it stops them from living the fullness of life that Jesus wants. There's too much to go into right now. But if that is something that resonates with you and you'd like to talk more, please come and see me afterwards. I would love to pray and to talk with you. It is the power of God's Holy Spirit that comes to us and testifies to us the truth of this freedom and enables us to receive also the gift of God's love and forgiveness. Exchange is really important. Lie is one thing, but we need the removal of those lies, but we need to be backfilled by the truth. And it is the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to know the truth of God's love. Ephesians 3:18 says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all God's holy people, to grasp how long and high and wide and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This morning, I pray this prayer of Paul for you, that even if there is a shadow of doubt in your own mind, that you are free. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You are free. Whatever it was that you struggled to believe that God will forgive you are free. Hear the words. He loves you and has forgiven you. As far as the east is from the west, he's removed that sin. You are free. The Holy Spirit confirms that in us, but also he confirms that we also belong to God. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit who you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to help us recognize that we belong to God. And as such, we belong to the family of God. We have a place of significance and purpose and destiny that is beyond anything, really, that we might be able to imagine or dream of. You have been set free for a purpose, and that purpose is so that you can fulfill your destiny as a child of God. And please don't underestimate the significance of this calling. God has brought you into existence for such a time as this. You are here for a reason. Psalm 139 says, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. And 2 Timothy 1:9 says this, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Before the beginning of time. And again, Romans 8:19, for the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Let me try and put all of this into some sort of context for you. If the science is to be followed, time came into existence when the universe was created. And again, following the science, the universe is estimated to be around 4 billion years old, depending on which way you look at it. I'm not getting into that this morning. Therefore, I like the 4 billion, and I'll tell you why. Because God has been in anticipation and expectation for 4 billion years for you to arrive on the earth and for him to reveal himself to you and for you to take place in his family. 4 billion years he's been waiting. I struggled to wait 9 months for my son to be born. And I was really excited when that happened. And 4 billion years, he's been in eager anticipation, waiting so that you could understand who you are. The world is waiting also in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Why? Because we've been given the responsibility to look after this world. And we step into our appointed destiny and carry out the good works that God has prepared for us in advance. And we partner with God in liberation and recreation as he continues to establish heaven on earth. That is what we're called to. That is part of who we are as his children. You are a child of God. You belong to him. And like the prodigal, you have been given everything that you need. The robe, the ring, the sandals. The robe because you are covered by God. His goodness and his mercy are with you all the days of your life. He will never leave you. He will never abandon you. And you are held by him for eternity. You are covered by God. But you're also restored by God. You have a restored identity. You have restored position. You have restored authority. Jesus commissioned us to become disciples who make disciples. And he has given us the authority to do this. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that establishes us as the children of God as we act in the power and the authority of Jesus in accordance to do the Father's will. Preach the kingdom. God is at hand. Heal the sick. Deliver those who are oppressed. Feed the hungry. Home the homeless. And he gives us the sandals, the ability to carry out what God has intended for you to do and for you to become. The Spirit of God comforts us and he explains to us that we belong to God and gives us a place in the family. You are significant. You are important. Your destiny is to work in partnership with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit and with the Father to bring light and love and the glory of his kingdom into view in this world. Do not think that your life doesn't count for anything. I want to say, because so often we get caught up by the world. We get caught up by what we're unable to do. Becoming and understanding who we are in our identity in Christ is so important. In partnership with the Holy Spirit, you will achieve much. And I really pray, and it's been my constant prayer, that the church would understand this, not just this church, but all the churches, that together we would understand who we are and who we're called to be. It's so significant. Penarth needs a church. He needs the children of God to stand up, take their place, understand their calling, believe it, and then walk in it, because this is what he is doing. And if that wasn't enough, the third and amazing truth is this, that you are an heir. You're an heir to the kingdom of God. Not only do you belong to God, but you an heir. We inherit all that Christ has inherited. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. I can't fully articulate precisely what that means because so much of it remains unseen to me right now in my life. It was enough for Paul to pray, as we heard earlier, that the Holy Spirit would empower the church to grasp the dimensions of God's love because we're unable to do it for ourselves. What more is there? Well, at the beginning of that letter to the Ephesians, Paul explains that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing that is in Christ. And then he unpacks that a bit more. And I encourage you to reflect on that first chapter of Ephesians as well, because there is so much in there that helps us to understand what we inherit in Christ. but it's to his word that I will finish. What I think it means to be an heir of Christ. And if I can, I would love to share with you, to declare over you who the scriptures say that you are. Would that be okay? Is that okay? It might take a couple of minutes, so stick in it, all right? And I'll probably get very excited. I'm just giving you a forewarning of this, but I've declared this a number of times in churches, and it's just been so impactful, and the Lord pressed it on my heart to do today, just as we were thinking about this. What is it that we gain in Christ? Who are we in Christ? And the reality is, it is mind-blowing, and we don't always fully understand it. But sometimes when somebody reads you just a few things, something might stick, and you can begin there. But I want to declare this over you, because this is who you are. This is what the Word of God says you are. This is your identity in him and who the Holy Spirit wants you to fully understand. So I'm going to ask you, if you want to, you can stand, you can open your hands, you can sit quietly, whatever you like. But I just want you to open your heart to the Holy Spirit to bring comfort, to bring encouragement to you, because this is who you are and all you are meant to be. You are a new creation. You are a people of his possession. You're a royal priesthood. You're alive to God. All grace abounds towards you. All sufficiency is in you through him. You're anointed. You're the apple of God's eye. As he is, so are we in this earth. You're baptized into one spirit. You're baptized into Christ and his death. You're being perfected. You are the beloved. You are blameless. You are blessed. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings. You've got bold access to the throne of God. You're as bold as a lion because you're born again. You're part of the bride. You're buried with Christ in his death. You can do all things in Christ. You're chosen. You're a chosen generation. Christ indwells with you with all of his fullness. You're a co-heir with Christ. You're created for good works. You're curse-free. You're dead to sin. You're dead with Christ. You're declared holy. You're a disciple. You're elect. You're enriched. Everything works in your favor. You're enriched in all knowledge. You're faithful. You're a fellow citizen. You are free. You are free from sin. He's freely given you all things. You're a friend of Christ. You're fruitful. You're gifted. You're given all things. You're the habitation of God. You have the mind of Christ. He's at work in you. He is for you, not against you. You're healed. You're hidden in Christ. You're highly favored. You're his body. You're his fullness. You are his possession. You're his workmanship. You're a holy nation. You're a holy priesthood. You're increasing in the knowledge of God. You're inseparable from the love of God. You're a jewel in his eye. You're joint heir with Jesus. You're justified. The kingdom of God is within you. You're a king. You're a priest. You're a ruler. You're known by him. You're lacking in nothing. You're the light of the world. You're living by faith. You live by God's word. You're a living stone. I need a drink. You're made in his image. You're made rich in everything. You're more than a conqueror. You're a new creation. You're of a sound mind. You are ordained. You're a different people. You're the people of God. You're the pillars of God. You're prepared for good works. You're protected, purified, raised with Christ in resurrection light. You are redeemed. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You're a royal priesthood. You're a saint. You're the salt of the earth. You're sanctified. You're saved. You're sealed. You're seated with him in heavenly places. You're a servant of God. You share his authority. You're the sheep of his pasture. You're a shining star. You're a son of God. You're a son of light. You're a steward of the mysteries. You are strengthened by him. You are the elect of God. You are the friends of God. The fullness of life and godliness belongs to you. You are the righteousness of God. You are the temple of God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are transformed. You're a vessel of glory. You're a vessel of honor. You walk by faith. You walk in newness of life. You're a warrior. You are the wise. You are witnesses. And you are absolutely worthy of the Lord. Yeah. Let's give him a round of applause. This is who you are. Take it. I'll have that. Just one of them is good enough. And take all of it. Amen. Amen. There is no longer fear. Perfect love casts out fear. We just need to draw close to it. So we're going to do that now. I invite the band to come up and we're going to continue to worship, but allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. Sometimes it's good to ask, Lord, is there a lie that I'm believing? Is there a lie that I'm believing about you? Is there a lie that I'm believing about myself? And maybe this morning, the Holy Spirit will... I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to do that work. He wants to set us free from the lies that we believe. And I just have this thing that just keeps coming back to me. That maybe there are some people here who have stuff that has happened way, way back. And they just can't seem to get over it. It's like the weight that they carry around with them. I don't deserve to be forgiven. I don't deserve to be forgiven. For what I did, I'll accept the consequences. I'll accept it's good enough that I know that, you know, that God loves me, but that's fine. It's not fine because that's not what God wants. Your Father is a good Father. He's such a good Father. Really just unbelievable. There was a point in my life when I feared for my own salvation because I'd made mistakes, made really bad mistakes. And I said to God, I'll never touch a guitar again. I'll never sing in church. I'll never preach. I'll never do anything. Just don't withhold your salvation from me. And I said, I saw Moses. Moses hit struck the rock in anger and he didn't enter into the promised land. I saw David. He messed up and never really entered into the... I said, I don't mind. Just as long as I make it over the threshold, I'll stand at the door. I'll sweep the floors, wherever. Just don't withhold your salvation from me. And I struggled. I was for a whole week, I was just praying and fasting. And I was supposed to be leading worship the next morning. I was going to phone up and say, I can't do it. I'm just struggling with this. And it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was on my knees before the Lord, just saying, please, please don't withhold your salvation from me. And I just heard the words, Romans 8. At that point, I didn't know what it meant. I just couldn't think, you know. And I turned to Romans 8 and I read, therefore, there is now no condemnation. No condemnation. No condemnation. No condemnation. I deserve punishment, but there is no condemnation because Christ has dealt with everything. Everything, and you are free. Let me just share one final blessing with you. I bless you in the name of Jesus that you would know the fullness of the Father's love, that you might have power to understand the dimensions of it, how wide it is and how high it is and how deep it is. And I bless you in the name of Jesus to receive the Holy Spirit. And that he would guide you into truth. That what you have received from him will take root in your soul and bear fruit in your life. I bless you in the name of Jesus to know the guidance, the comfort, the joy of walking with Jesus day by day. I pray that as he leads you, you would experience the fullness of life in all of its glory through every mountaintop and every valley. May the joy of his presence with you always be your light. I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace and peace of God be with you always.